Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
With the 13th pick in the 2023 NBA Draft, the Toronto Raptors select Grady Dick from the University of Kansas.
Raptor Nation, what's going on? It's Grady here out in New York City. Just got drafted to our beautiful city. I cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Drizzy, I'll see you soon, boy.
It's Grady Dix. Welcome to Toronto's inaugural radio moment. And we will do our best to not get fired this morning. It's Brent Gunning and Ailish Forfar. Happy Friday. What's going on, Gunner?
I like to think we've heard of industry plants. This is like a plant by our boss. It's like, who's going to
best
cross the line? Good luck talking about Grady Dick all morning long on the Fan Morning Show. Very happy to be alongside you. I just want to go on record now. I may turn on him quickly. You know, I've heard scouting reports. Yep. Some I love, some I don't. What I will say right now, starting off loving this guy. How can you not be all in after last night?
All right. So Toronto Raptors select Grady Dick. And before he was a member of the Toronto Raptors, he had already become a viral sensation with his...
This is out of my purview. You had to alert me to this.
Yes. Okay. So he's got a TikTok following that is astronomical. And I think this is the first time that I felt old. Mm-hmm. Because this kid gets
and
drafted.
And if you're feeling old.
I know it's tough, right? Yeah. He gets drafted and all of these TikToks start resurfacing online. And he is a millennial Gen Z at core. And I'm like still in the millennial. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
But I'm not this type of Gen Z millennial. This guy is pumping out content like I've never seen before. He shows up to the red carpet in this bright red Wizard of Oz theme suit, obviously because of the Kansas connection. And
sure.
Before he was even drafted, that was the first thing I was, oh my God, who is this guy? Like, bold move, like kid. And then I never think about him again until he was up on the stage and he was a Raptor.
I am cackling hearing the name because I'm nine. Like, look, we can all do the thing of like, look, okay, come on. Be mature, people. We've all heard it before, but it's still hilarious, okay?
Yeah.
So I was cackling, laughing, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I am locked and loaded on every draft prospect mm-hmm. heading into the 13th pick. And then I saw him, and I was already dying of laughter. And he looks like, he looks like Justin Bieber circa 2013 mm-hmm. with the haircut and the baby face. He has on this bedazzled suit that is cut. And again, like, we just went over how cool and young he is, so he doesn't need my advice on fashion. Literally no one on the earth does. But it is cut in a way that makes him look 14 feet wide at the shoulders, super broad. He gets into his, you know, several media availabilities after where he gets asked about it. It's the first question. He could not go 2 milliseconds in without getting out this Dolce & Gabbana, and then he tried to say some other label and butchered it, yeah. which makes me love him so much more. It's just everything about it was such a big welcome to the show.
That's
moment
it.
And seeing this guy, how can you not start off loving him, honestly?
And he's wearing the shades. He's strutting down the red carpet post getting drafted to the Raptors, already pumping out social media content on their page. Like, he did miss a beat. This guy, Justin makes fun of me for, like, content plays. Like, oh, you're going to do this thing for content play? This kid is a content play. He is going to be, he's already, like, Raptors fans all in the comments, like, welcome to the six, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, woo.
Jersey sales.
Jersey sales.
Through the roof.
Well, let me tell you about the jersey sales, because I did go to NBA Canada or any of the places where you can customize a jersey.
And right now they won't let you.
Unfortunately, it is a vulgar last name and they won't make you, they don't allow you to customize a jersey with his name on it because it just seems they don't get it. But he is going to be a
Toronto
Raptor.
What if you put Richard? What if you put Richard on the back?
You could, but I want it to say Grady Dick, because if you want the jersey of the newest Raptor, you got to get it. And so they'll have to actually go into like the system of approval and approve that word now for Raptors jersey sales. And you know that this jersey will be the hot ticket item. Like, next season, everyone will have
next season and 2045 Coachella.
That's
elite jersey 2045
they'll sell
Coachella.
The most this September,
yes.
And then the most in like, 55.
Be a hot Value Village find many, many years down the line.
See which number he goes with.
I think,
that's an important decision for him.
Not that one, okay?
Well, you can't.
You definitely can't.
You just couldn't.
Even if it's hilarious, shout out to Goon. Man, the idea of getting a guy like this who can actually, you know, I think the thing about the Raps is they've just felt so stagnant lately. Even when they make a change, it's like, it's just Jakob Poeltl. It's just an old guy who was here before who doesn't really change all that much right now. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this guy is going to change everything. Daniela was just telling us before the show. He most certainly is not right away anyways. But I think that this is just a injection of life. It was a fun night of levity for a fan base that honestly has just been so stuck in the doldrums pretty much since the second the parade ended. Ever since then, the vibes have just been descending.
They dropped Scotty Barnes, and it was like this viral big moment of energy, and then he wins Rookie of the Year. But most of the time, we're having conversations about, you know, the state of Raptors Twitter and the state of Raptors media and the state of Raptors fandom, and it has never really been an extended period of excitement. And this guy's invigorating some youth, and he's certainly a guy that likes personality. And you know what? I'm all for it right now, but I think he could easily be a point of frustration if things aren't going well, because like, this guy cares so much about social media, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's right there.
But you know what? Like, if we say this now, every single year in the future in the Raptors draft, it's going to be more and more of kids like this that are like living in the NIL. I'm going to cash in on this. I'm going to, you know, make my presence known on social media. So just embrace it now, because this kid is like the start of what your future draft picks will look like.
Okay? Yeah. They can't all be Victor Wembanyama, who, you know, feels 47 years old and just a sage, wise man who I would like to have a cup of coffee with and be like, hey, Vic, what could I do? Could you be my mentor? Can you help
my
me
life
in life?
Coach.
We can't all be that way. Okay. So yeah, this is definitely get you to it, because it's going to get here. NHL draft, a little different. Might see the suits. You just won't see all the surrounding stuff there. But yeah, this is what it looks like going forward. In terms of everybody, I'll rip off the little scouting report here that we got. He can shoot. He can do that very well.
One of the best shooters in the draft, maybe the best.
My understanding is cannot do much else beyond that. So big body, long frame, all the stuff you like for an NBA wing there. This will shock you. He is somewhere in and around 6'9 with long arms. So even though they're getting something new, again, just right back to the old Raptors playbook there. But, you know, shooting is something this team is desperately, desperately needed. And the other thing that I think will be interesting to watch is how a new player gets worked in with the new head coach. It's been such a problem. And, you know, I don't think it's always at the detriment of the team, but it's been hard for guys to gain the trust of Nick Nurse unless you're somebody like Scotty Barnes. And even him has struggled to gain it at times. So now that you have a new coach here in Coach Darko, he's such a developmental guy. That's such a big part of what he does. I think that probably bodes well for him as well. But, you know, I also think you need to keep expectations pretty clearly in check with what this guy is.
So it definitely addresses a clear need that the Raptors had been lacking on for quite a while. One of the best shooters in the NCAA last year. I think he set a record for Kansas freshman in terms of threes. And you know, I think that's certainly the biggest selling point. We will get into more detail with the people that know it and have covered it well. We'll have our buddy Will Liu on, and we'll have Michael Grange on. So we'll get a little bit more insight of like how he's going to fit in the roster construction, you know, where what happens from now when you get drafted to the start of the season, right? Like what is he, what are the other things he needs to work on? Because maybe defense, and that could be something that, you know, we get excited about the shooting, but he's not the full well-rounded player that you saw with Victor Wembanyama, who came in, and I don't think people have enough words in the English dictionary. I'm listening to the broadcast, and it's like, you know, franchise-altering, the best ever, the greatest prospect. At one point, I heard that he was the greatest prospect ever in the history of any sport.
I've heard this.
To ever get drafted into it. I'm like, whew, buddy. Like, I don't think you can get any higher than that. But anyway, he goes first overall. No surprise there. There were some good viral moments from the draft in general. I thought it was a really nice and different family type affair.
For sure.
Right? Getting the families on the couch right afterwards. That introduction, at first, I thought it was a bit strange where they went through every player and like it was like their family.
Very odd,
and they're all staying there like mean mugging the camera.
Like Sears portrait
it
studio.
It was kind of like that. And they went through every player, but then I think it's always really special to hear right away from the family and from the player. And it really, it kind of, it gave you an appreciation of what everybody goes through to get to this point, and not just the player, but see the parents, see the family. I thought that was a nice special touch that was different this time around. Emotional, like it is, and we talked about this yesterday about teeing it up. It's just, this changes people's lives, not just the player, their family and the sacrifice. So I actually thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, and you know, you get many different versions of it. Like Juwan Howard was one guy who had his kid drafted, mm-hmm. and obviously that's a completely different realm, right? Mm-hmm. Juwan Howard has been through this before. He's been super famous, played on the most famous college team of all time. So obviously he looks at it as a completely different perspective. And then you have players whose parents, you know, they had a regular job mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's like you said, it's life-altering, not just in terms of, you know, the realm of life you live in, but just that you finally kind of got across the finish line. You know, think of how long of a 20-year journey that was for the kid, for sure, as well, but the parents too. And yeah, how could you not feel happy for them? Although I would like one parent to just been like a hard-ass dad, been like, yeah, well, you know, could have been 10 if he would have busted it a little more. Well, come on. That is what father-son relationships are built on. I would have liked somebody just given a little needle there. I did want to talk kind of about Wembanyama because I'm of such, not of two minds. I think both things are true, but there has never been a player who I have been more confident in. And this includes LeBron James going through the gauntlet. There's never been a player I've been more confident in able to handle the rigors of the expectations of being this. Just hearing him talk, even, you know, they're talking to him on the broadcast and they're asking him about the idea of, you know, how do you bulk up over time? And he immediately pushes back on that and no, that's not what we're doing. We're not bulking up. We're getting stronger. Yeah. This is the way I'm going to do it. And I think that is so good that he has such a clear plan. And he just, again, has a incredible head on his shoulders. Yeah. He just seems so at peace with the moment. And that was the thing that sticks out the most to me. The other side of this as well is I feel like we've seen this movie before with super skinny tall guys who come into the NBA, and it's going to be spectacular so long as it's this, but it ain't going to be this forever. So I will never be able to watch this guy without waiting for the other shoe to drop, and that other shoe is his Achilles or his knee or his back or something. I hope it doesn't come to that, but it's just impossible for me to see a guy who physically, he's preparing himself in all the best ways he can, but when you're a freak of nature like that, you're a freak of nature, and it's just tough to kind of keep everything stacked up properly. But in terms of his mental makeup, and again, I just go back to that word, kind of calm, peace. It felt like he was just, it felt like he was at work. It felt like he was just on the panel with JJ and whoever else was there. It didn't feel like this crescendo moment in his life, probably because it's not going to be. This guy's going to go win championships and MVPs and all that. But yeah, that's what stuck out the most to me about him last night.
I thought it was really special. You know, obviously we've known he's going to be number one for a very, very long time, years. People have been circling this prospect, and he's the most highly touted prospect in the history of sports. But when he got his name called for number one, it's like he needed to really hear it to believe it, and he gets emotional right away. Like, he's crying, he's talking to the reporters, and you just see that emotion. And for a guy that knows he was going to go number one for a really long time, it was so authentic. He didn't try to mask how he felt. He didn't, even though knowing for months and months and months, like, you could have just been like, I'm really proud to have this moment. But seeing his raw emotion, I think you nailed it with, he feels like a humble, mature guy, right? And not to cross-reference to other people we saw all night long, but everyone's in a different boat, right? But maybe it's just his lifestyle, and he's not an NCAA guy. He's had a little bit of a different upbringing. He's probably had a different family life being in Paris, whatever it is, or in France. And I just think that it really, to me, was special to see that moment still meant as much as it did after knowing forever. You had Windhorse flying. Everybody knew you were going number one, and you knew this forever, but to hear your name called and still have that emotion, I thought that was a really nice part of the night. You had the Thompson twins going back to back. That was really sweet as well. There's no Sedin coup that made that happen, but, you know, we could dream.
Don't get me started on the Sedins.
Yeah? Okay? Uh-oh. How much time? We only have 3 hours left of the show.
If Matt's, I'll just give you the very Coles note to this take. If Matt Sundin had a brother named Hank Sundin who played left wing instead of, I don't know, Jonas Hoglund, how would that go for the Leafs? Pretty good, I bet.
It would be different.
We could do this literally anytime, so we can move on, but I can't. It's catnip to me. I cannot hear the name. Even on Hall of Fame week, I asked our boss, I'm like, please don't put me on for Sedin Hall of Fame week. I won't be good. Like, I'll just say the bad thing and everyone will laugh. So
we had teed this up yesterday about, would there be a big move for three? Like, it was kind of a more of a tame draft. There wasn't any big blockbuster. There's some movement, but nothing of, you know, monster ripple effect. Number three was Scoot. Number two was Brandon Miller. Number one was Victor Wembanyama. It was kind of what was predicted before, but I wanted to bring this up because I think it's an interesting look into the future, a little bit about insiders and the information they give and maybe how the betting lines go into it. So yesterday we're going back and forth with Woj is saying one thing and Shams is saying one thing, right? And we know the two guys.
The true greatest rivalry in sports.
It is. Those
Duke,
two.
Duke, North Carolina, get out of here. Yankees, Red Sox, take a seat.
Canada,
Leafs,
USA,
Habs.
No.
Who cares?
Woj and Shams.
Shams, Woj.
Okay, so but all whatever, season long, Woj was saying Miller number two, Miller number two, Miller number two. And he was pretty firm about that. And yesterday, Shams came on in the very final hours and had a tweet that was like, oh, I'm hearing Scoot is getting a lot of traction. He said, I have the quote, gaining serious momentum at number two. Hornets have been torn. Like, team has been waiting to the final minute to make this decision. And Shams also is represented by a sports book,
yep.
Right? And so it's very interesting because then that sports book is getting this influx of money, like, thousands and thousands,
sure.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars on what the insider is saying. And in the end, it doesn't go that way, and people lose money. And Woj sends out a tweet that I think is pretty much directed at Shams. It says, you know, all along, the entire Charlotte Hornets organization has been all in on Brandon Miller. Ownership, front office, scouts, coaches, they see him as a perennial future all-star player. And it's like, I just wonder in the future, like, I mean, you can get sucked into when Shams says something.
For sure.
You $20 on it, right? Like, he's, why would he make that up? Why is he saying that? But I just think it's really interesting if you have a betting sponsorship, like, what's your role in saying these breaking news or these type of insider comments?
And I want to be clear, like, the most important things to Shams, what allows him, let's say the sports book is like, we'll give you a piece of the action, which I highly doubt is happening, honestly.
Yeah.
That would be such a terrible look.
But he is getting paid by them.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But even if, in the worst case scenario of this, the only thing that gives Shams clout to be worth anything to
right.
that sports book is to be right. So I think that is the overwhelming thing that does protect here. But I mean, you know, we all watch Wolf of Wall Street. We've seen pump and dump schemes. You know, that's about the extent I understand it. Don't ask me to explain it any more than that. The Big Short is also involved in this.
We did finance yesterday.
Yeah,
we don't need that
please.
Today. Okay?
I don't want any part of this. Math gets involved and I get super squirrely.
Same.
So we're for the best there. But I think that's what protects against all this. Mm-hmm. The other thing I always love is, and this goes across insiders of all sports, of all stripes, I love the horse race terminology. It's like he's gaining momentum.
Yes.
It's like
he's rounding the corner.
Are there two guys in the front office playing 21 and winner selects and it's down to Miller versus Henderson? Like, because to me, it's pretty clear, just trying to read between the lines, that Woj has a sources and they both have sources they're super confident in. But there's probably somebody in Charlotte who's talking to Shams that isn't talking to Woj. And maybe it's not even saying, I think they're going to take him. It's just, I am not giving up this fight.
Yeah.
I am still pounding the table. And the other part of this as well is, let's not act like both those guys have been doing the job for the exact same length of time. It's not to take anything away from Shams, but Woj has just been through the ringer with this a few more times, and I wouldn't be shocked if he has an ability to just discern a little bit more on that regard.
100%.
So, yeah, that's what jumped out to me, but definitely interesting and definitely something you got to watch
like
for.
As soon as you make a tweet and the line goes from minus 450 or plus 200 to minus 450, it's like people listen to what you have to say, and they put their money where the insiders say. So I think just maybe, I honestly think in 5 to 10 years, we'll be looking back at this and they'll be like, oh, what a weird
I don't think he's the only one. I could be correct. I feel like Schefter has been linked to a book at some point in time. And yeah,
it's a weird responsibility to have.
It really is. And again, I think it goes without saying that the only thing that gives them any actual clout is being right.
Yeah.
So that will be the most important thing. But yeah, it's something to watch for sure.
Something to chew on later, maybe. Okay, so Grady Dick joins the Toronto Raptors at 13. But the Raptors also pick up another player, Marquise Noel. And he's signing a two-way contract. So this is after the draft, of course. Shams of the Athletic put this one out. So it means he's obviously going to have the opportunity to split some time in the G League and compete for an NBA spot. And if you remember him, he was kind of like hailed as like the hero of the NCAA tournament, set the NCAA assist record when he dished out 19 against Michigan State. And Danielle really likes him. Danielle is our guy, right?
He's our hoops guy.
He's a little guy. He's a 5'8". Guy, a little Fred VanVleet action, maybe small guy. You didn't get the draft, like he's coming in.
I really like the idea of a 5'8" undrafted guy coming in and looking at Grady Dick, going, "I'm better than you. We were on the same college team, and I was the star."
They'll go head to head.
It's gonna be great. I love that little wrinkle to it all. I love a small Hooper. How can you not? Impossible not to cheer for that guy. And, you know, we focus so much on the wraps and the fit of Siakam and Barnes and what's going to happen with Van Vliet and did they make the right move with Trent and all that stuff matters for sure. But so much of the Raptors' magic was being able to take a guy like that. And it wasn't just them. The player put in the work, but turning a guy like that into an all-star, into Fred VanVleet, who is forever a hero in this city now. And I'm not saying they have to do it with this guy, but they need to start getting back some of that player development pixie dust that they had going on for a while.
The right coach for it, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, and I think this is an interesting measure of, okay, did you get the best players available? Did you get the right fit for the team? And we'll talk a little later about that in the show as well, as like where these two will fit in. But, you know, he's a small guy, but crafty, smart, maybe a little bit unsung. Like, I think there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder type
for
thing.
Sure. I'm always, you cannot be a 5'8 basketball player and not wake up mad every day.
And so I think sometimes that's a really hard thing to value, but we've seen it work a lot for players in the NBA. Some other stuff from basketball before we move on, because the Calgary Flames are legitimately in flames. The NHL had some in news last night, and we got a full day of guests ahead, including former coach of some of these guys, Jeremy Case, Kansas Jayhawks assistant coach, two-time national champion. He'll join us in the show, give us a look at some newest Raptors here. Bill Merrifield, Whit Merrifield's dad. Bill is joining us later in the show. I know we talked about this a couple days ago, Justin and I, about this really great article that Shai wrote about during Father's Day and how Bill helped his son Whit continue to play basketball. And it's a nice story. If you haven't had a chance to read it, check that out before we talk to Bill. Will Liu, Nick Kiprios, and Michael Grange as well as our guests today. But still some Raptors news to work through. Pascal Siakam has reportedly said that he would not want to re-sign with a team that attempts to trade him. His preference is to stay with the Raptors. So that was Haynes that said this yesterday. So he's obviously on an expiring deal. We know his name has been a lot of rumors. But to be outwardly, maybe through your agent or whatever, saying that I'm not going to re-sign if you trade for me is kind of like the loyalty that I think Raptors fans have wanted for a lot of their stars, right?
Well, I mean, if you're loyal to yourself in that regard, I think if you know, this is my old Patrick Marleau corollary. Ooh. To bring it back to the Leafs, like seemingly everything in the world does. You know, if Patrick Marleau really loved Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews so much, you know what he would have done? He would have retired and not made them give away Seth Jarvis for free, okay? So if Pascal Siakam truly loves the Raptors and is loyal to them, he will allow them to do what's best. Now, he's not going to block it. He does not have a no move. I understand all this. And you earn the right to get to free agency and go where you want. But we've seen it. I will shout it until I am blue, or actually, you know what? Let's go Raptors purple in the face. That this team, so long as he's the best player, will never win anything of consequence. Mm. And if your goal is to be the DeRozan-Lowry Raptors, go for it. That's the ceiling of a team with this guy as your best player on it. If that's the world you want to live in, if you're comfortable with that, go for it. But if not, you have to move off of them. You're seeing Fred VanVleet now. This is the time to make a change. You do not want to run it back season. This is the time. But if he's going to neuter the possible return they can get based on that news, it's not really helping out the team. So I don't begrudge him for it, but don't. And I know you're not the one spinning it, but don't spin this as loyalty to the Raptors when it's loyalty to Pascal Siakam.
I certainly think it's an interesting timing. Like, his name has been floated around a lot, obviously before the draft, number three available.
I think he's scared that Lillard gets moved, and then there's a team that kind of misses out there.
And then
he's a second banana,
and
but
he's
not
in
really
a spot
good
that
enough.
He doesn't want to be
exactly.
In.
I think so, that's what terrifies
him. And maybe it's the agent like kind of quieting some of the trade rumors and putting some cold water on it. But I mean, at this point, if you know that Pascal Siakam wouldn't want to sign long-term, like, why even continue to pursue, right?
Yeah, you need, the only way you would, and this is not out of the realm of possibility in this league, is your superstar saying, go get me that guy. That's a guy I can win with. I watched him win. Now, again, I'm more down on him than most, so I wouldn't be the one saying that, but I think that's the scenario where it happens, is pick your superstar who is frustrated, and that's the guy who's going to keep me happy. Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting, like, silly season now, right?
Very.
And so the draft is over. We know the two newest Raptors. We do have some good clips from Grady Dick we should play before we move off, because Do you need to know about the newest Toronto Raptor? He's going to be, you know, the star of the show here for the next little while in terms of his on and off the court prowess. But let's play Grady Dick. He could not go, I don't know, 30 seconds without mentioning Drake and his excitement to meet Drake, a big Drake guy, Drake. So we've got his post draft availability and how excited he is about Drake.
Now I'm looking forward to it. Got to get out there, see Drake. I've been saying it a bunch, but I'm looking forward to that.
You hyped to become boys with Drake overnight? It's going to happen.
Of course. That's the goal. I need him to wear my jersey. That's how I know. That's my priority.
It's my priority. My priority is to get Drake to wear my jersey. And I know he's being like, he's so excited. At that time, too, you're on the podium and you're just like, oh, my God, I got drafted in Toronto. What do I know about Toronto? Drake,
of course.
Like, do you think this guy's like, you know what? I really love their development system. I know about their assistant coach on the G League. And I know what about their OVO system.
What I would have liked to hear is him just throw his hat in the mayoral race. Like, we're going to fix that Eglinton crosstown.
I heard that they were looking for a mayor.
Kipper's been shouting guys out. This is great. This is, how much better is this than the stock, like, I like ketchup chips. Yeah. I like poutine. That's pretty sick. This is way better than that. So look, like, you're an they named him the global ambassador. Mm-hmm. Clearly it's working. Yeah. So yeah, all bloom on the rose for this kid now. Do not hold me to these comments when I am frustrated early on his NBA career, yes, when the shot on a night where the shot isn't falling. But right now, just all love. He's like a baby fawn stumbling around, banging into stuff, and I don't care.
And he's saying funny things, and he's going viral. But the point that you bring up is like in, you know, 6 to 8 months when we're frustrated with him, how quick are we to do the home run jacket is making this team, you know, the home run jacket, they're not serious. Neither is Grady Dick to take his TikTok page down.
I know this is an NHL thing, but with like the hard hat for winning or whatever. Yeah. We need the Grady Dick draft night jacket as a victory jacket.
Yes.
The Raptor actually wears a similar one from time to time.
That's interesting.
So, content.
That's going to be a hot Halloween costume.
MLSE, you can just have that one. That's yours.
Free.
Raptor and him, fashion show. There you go.
So he also has some more talents, not just, you know, his social media skills, but he can also speak like Donald Duck.
Oh, okay.
Here's the clip of that.
I read this in your bio on Kansas' website. It said you could talk like Donald Trump. Is that true? Could you give us a little bit of that?
A little bit? All right, can't smile. They're like, all right.
He's nervous. What's up? What's
up, my God? See, I can't do it that well because I ain't done it in like a couple months. But once I start doing that, then you can hear me clear. Just a little taste.
That was pretty good.
Just a little taste. Yeah, I mean, as I said, he is going to be all over your social media timeline.
I wonder if he's an only child. That seems like something you would spend just like, well, I have nothing else to do other than to sit here and stare.
Both his parents are former professional athletes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I do feel like this got referenced.
Oh, he has a couple siblings. Kelsey, okay. Brody, and Riley. Sure. Mom played basketball at Iowa State and professionally. And I think won a gold medal. I'm looking quickly reading his anyway, but it says in his draft thing, enjoys anything active, making TikToks, watching scary movies and fishing, can do a backflip and talk like Donald Duck. That's on his page.
This is great.
Anyway, but yeah, his parents have athletic background. He does have siblings, so not only child.
I got to be honest. I'm very surprised by that. I am. Goodness. The Donald Duck thing really stuck it out for me. I know one other person who can do an impression like that. Very creepy to see in person.
Yeah.
Uncanny,
It's just
you might
like
say.
The face, you mean? Or
It's just very unsettling. Like, have you ever, I don't even know if this is a real thing. I feel like I saw this in movies and I've never seen it in the wild. Have you heard this thing of people can throw their voice, like make it sound like it's coming
like
from
a ventriloquist?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that. But make it sound
really
like it's
creepy.
Coming from outside of like another place in the room. And it's like, that's just unsettling. I don't like it.
Are people still ventriloquists? Because
I think
this
there's
is
like,
text line
I actually
central
think
here.
There's one. I think, like, I'm not going to pretend
man.
To know him, but, like, I feel like he pops up on the, like,
one,
yeah, the guy. He has
but,
all
like,
of his little buds.
People.
Oh, like as a 13-year-old endeavoring to do this
is
now.
Is there somebody that you cross on the street that you're like, hey, what's going? And you don't know that their job is a ventriloquist.
I hope not.
You're on the TTC this morning, and you're, like, looking around at people going to work, and there's somebody that's going to ventriloquist
I hope
day job.
I really hope not. I think because I.
If you're a ventriloquist, please 590-590. I need to pick your brain.
Okay.
I also have the over under is set on my laptop battery today. I came into the show and it was at 20%, and I guess I didn't plug it in properly into the wall. So where it's going down rapidly, the brightness is at the lowest. I can barely see. All I see is my reflection. It's spooky. But the over-under is, will I get to 2% by the end of the show? I'm already at 15, and yeah, I haven't even touched any document.
You're dying.
So I might not be in the text line as nicely, but, you know, Gunnar will take over for you because I can't chat with everybody.
And by that, I mean just know I'm reading it, yes, but I won't be nearly as active.
He's there, and I'll see it, but I don't have the battery power to respond to everybody today, but we will read your text, please. 590-590. Let's play one more. Like Bobby Webster obviously had an opportunity to talk about the newest Raptor, and obviously he talked about his personality, but here's what he hopes to get out of Grady Dick this upcoming season, because this is the most important thing, his on-court skills.
Kind of what I started, he's a good basketball player, and so I think we always want to put a premium on those type of players that can do a little bit of everything. I think, you know, obviously he's a rookie, but you hope he can come in off the bench and make some shots and, you know, kind of not make too many mistakes, and the coaches trust him and you know, keep expectations in line. But, you know, we do have expectations that he can probably come in.
All right, so we'll break down with Grange, with Will Liu, about maybe the fit, what's next for Grady Dick and for the newest Raptors as well. But let's move to some hockey. Calgary Flames making some bad headlines yesterday. They are in flames, legitimately. And it was our guy, Frank Saravalli, who kind of kept putting the dagger in them. I don't know if you saw the tweets, he fired off 4 tweets in a row, and it was like, Frank, stop. You know that meme where it's like, stop, yes, and he's dead. That was Frank yesterday with the Calgary Flames. So basically, the rundown of a 4-hour segment of tweeting was that Tyler Toffoli wants out.
Okay.
Lindholm wants out. Backlund wants out. And Hanifin wants out. And so that is a quartet.
Yes.
That's four. A quartet of Calgary Flames that no longer want to play in Calgary, or no longer want to sign an extension or see themselves here long term. That is a pretty bad couple hours of news if you're a Calgary Flames fan, if you're a Calgary Flames media ownership. Our guys, we're gonna have to get our buddies
Francis
out there.
Up, yeah.
We have to wake them up and get them on the phone. But it is a tough spot, and it seems like all of the movement in terms of Trey Living and getting rid of Sutter is maybe not the actual problem going on in Calgary. It's just kind of an expose and like something is wrong.
Yeah, I would certainly say so. I think everybody there was probably at the very least trying to talk themselves into it strictly being a Daryl Sutter problem. I think that was pretty easy place to point the finger. And quite honestly, I think at the time it looked like the right one. But he's gone. He's not going to be there. So what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's still something. You know, when I look at all those guys, you know, Lindholm, last year of his deal, Hanifin, yep, one more after this. It is a wake of destruction that, yep, Brad Treliving left there. And, you know, I don't want to get into doing victory laps about what Kyle Dubas has left, because Treliving was a year removed. This was not the conversation we're having last year. So let's see what position the Leafs were in. But, you know, for all the talk, and again, about Kyle Dubas and the contracts that he gave out, look at the spot that Treliving put himself in with Tkachuk. Look at the spot that Treliving's old team is in now. And I'm not saying that this means he is not the right guy to be the Leafs GM or it's going to be some abject failure. But I think that you have to look at a guy's last stop and look at the position they were left in with. And again, this has to be hammered home with nothing more to show other than, I think, maybe one more second round win, but not a series win, just winning 2 games in the second round. That's all they got to show for it. And it is a wake of destruction being left behind. So I think it is at the very least, a yellow flag, at the very least, probably a red one in honor of Calgary. Not good at all. And, you know, I know people are going to start to pick at the carcass. Those are all solid players, but you wanted Toffoli when the Flames got him. You don't want him now. You know, Hanifin, Lindholm, those guys are a little different. Backlund, I'm also out on, but how can you not look at a team that Treliving used to be the GM of that's having a bit of a yard sale and say, of course he's going to kick tires. Of course he is.
100%. Next week, you guys come on the radio, there'll be rumors of, hey, you know, Trey Living went and he's checking out on some of his former players. Mm-hmm. And if you're a current player of the Calgary Flames, you're looking around and being like, what the hell is going on? I need out too. Like, this might be the start of something where there's other players that are looking for trades. Like, when free agency opens up, it might be a little bit of a different outlook of what Calgary might have been. I know we talked a lot about Winnipeg being the team that has a lot of eyeballs on them, but I think Calgary just put themselves in the ring big time. I'm sure the Leafs could target some of these guys. I'm not sure if it's like the perfect home run deal ahead. We will talk to Kipper later in the show about, you know, maybe some free agency moves, or if he sees Calgary being a place of a destination point that Trey Living might call back on. But I do think you can look a little bit differently at, okay, so what was going on there in Calgary? They don't have any leverage now. Like, these guys have openly been like, I don't want to play here, so figure it out for me, right? And maybe and poor Craig Conroy. This guy waltzes in, gets a GM job. He's so excited, and it's like, hey, here's a disaster. Go deal with it. I kind of feel for the guy, but he's making good money.
So. Yeah, I look at the players, not just those guys that were mentioned. The only guy who kind of makes sense that they would realistically move there, you know, Rasmus Anderson is under contract at a great number for a bunch more years. That's going to cost you a ton. I just don't see that happening. Yeah. Hannifin would be interesting. The other guy, now the problem is the Leafs can't afford middle-class forwards, but Andrew Mangiapane. This guy has shown up in big moments, even though he is he's the exact opposite of big. But he's on the books for 5-8 next year and the year after that because of the shortness of the term, because it would end at the same time as Matthews. Maybe there's something you could see there. But the problem is they just have so many of those middle-class guys. Lindholm, 4-8. Toffoli, 4-2. Blake Coleman, who you wouldn't kick tires on at all. He's 31 years old, and he's at 4-9 for four more seasons. Yeah. So I when I look at it, I don't know that there's that many options. The other one some people have talked about as well is the idea of a goalie. I personally, unless there is a very obvious upgrade available on a kind of shortish term window, I imagine they just roll back with Samsonov and Wall. I can't see why they wouldn't. Yeah.
I mean, there are some, this is a pretty good, like, free agency-esque goaltending draft or some guys on expiring deals, but not draft, free agency. But Wall, I think everyone's obsessed with him.
For sure.
I could see him certainly being maybe even the starter by the end of next season, depending on how things go. And Samsonov, you know, you could probably find a way to keep him at a reasonable number, and I think he liked his time here. I don't think he's your franchise-defining goaltender, but that tandem, for me, I feel a level of comfortability. But there are some other names out there, but I just haven't heard much. It's also been pretty quiet in terms of, like, Leafs rumors in general, right? Just seems like, hey, the last thing we heard was probably no Bunting, probably no Hall, probably no Kerfoot. We'll get back to you soon when we know about more rumors. And that's kind of like the pulse right now.
Yeah, the other pulse is just how... And I don't think they necessarily should be, but how embarrassed they seem to be bringing back Sheldon Keefe as Leafs head coach. It's like, it's almost like your buddy, like, you know, brought his new girlfriend to the bar, but didn't tell anyone. It's like, who's that? It's like, oh, just a friend of mine. It's like, why don't you want to tell me more about this person?
No,
why
are you? It's like getting back with, like, your ex.
Yes,
almost.
This
that's
is it.
It.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you guys are you?
No, just hanging out.
Oh, what's this situation? Yeah, exactly. Back together? It's like, no, we're just
hanging out.
We're not together.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, he's clear as day going to be the coach next year. Yeah. And they understand it's a little weird to put out a press conference being like, coach, we'll continue to coach.
And we're extending him.
Coach, well, that's the thing. They don't announce it. Like, they don't have to announce it. You know, I there have been general managers who got contract extensions, and we found out about this many, many months later. Yeah. So it could have already happened. I know all the insiders are digging. But, yeah, that's been the most funny thing to me in Leafs land is just them being like, don't talk about the coach. Don't.
But he's our coach.
He's a coach, for sure. And we have absolute one. Hey, don't question our faith in the coach. Yeah. Well, why don't you talk about it more? Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Matthew's contract. Somehow that's even more palatable now.
That's good. We know that there was the meeting between Brad Trey Living and Austin Matthews.
The summit.
The souffle, was it the chocolate something that they had?
Oh, just the Huberdeau closing cake, whatever it was, yeah.
Maybe they had that in Arizona.
There's
a guy on Calgary, Nazem Kadri.
I've heard the name.
Maybe he doesn't want to play there anymore.
Might have a crispy white 43 in my closet.
Can you imagine if somehow he's like, I want out.
Oh.
This place sucks.
Oh, my.
Toronto.
Naz back would be, there'd be no, I'm honestly trying to think if they're like,
Would there be a crazy reacquisition ever?
A Phil Kessel victory lap would have been very fun, but it would have been mascot-ish because, you know, he doesn't play that much anymore. Kadri back would be, I don't think there's one. I really don't think there's anybody else that...
Flip our station upside down.
Oh, my God.
We'd have a heyday.
We'd love it.
It'd be real fun.
Yes, please.
We got Kipper later on in the show. I don't think that we're going to hear much validity from that one.
No,
No.
But, you know, sometimes Kipper, like, he'll entertain my jokes. Maybe he'll like that one.
Man, Kipper will tell you some things, and you'll start hearing it and go, that's crazy. And then by the end of it, you go,
like Shane Doan?
Exactly.
He's like, Shane Doan. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it's like a week later, Shane Doan. I'm like, Kipper, the insider.
Kipper knows.
Kipper, big insider, Kipper big knows. Politician lately. Okay.
It's like political advisor. He's the guy. He's the guy behind the guy.
Yeah. We won't quiz him on that, but if you need any insight, he's big on the Twitter feed now. Okay, more NHL news to wrap up here before we do the A-list. Okay, so two things that were, you know, bigger-ish news. There was like I think it was Elliot made some comments about Gary Bettman having some conversation yesterday. Was it the Board of Generals or Governors?
Board of Governors.
Yeah, Board of Generals, Governors.
Bunch
same thing.
Bunch of guys.
Are you Governor or General? It's
rich,
the same thing.
Rich guys in suits are chatting.
Yes. Okay, so there's a couple things here. Let's play the clip here about specialty jerseys in warmups and how the NHL is going to eliminate that moving forward.
Well, actually, I've suggested that it would be appropriate for clubs not to change their jerseys in warm-ups because it's become a distraction and taking away from the fact that all of our clubs in some form or another host nights in honor of various groups or causes, and we'd rather that we continue to get the appropriate attention that they deserve and not be a distraction.
It's only become a distraction because you're catering to the needs of like 10-ish players that are non-inclusive or homophobic or transphobic. And now you've decided to eliminate all specialty jerseys. But we know that this is because the Pride Knights are getting unwanted and unfair attention for the wrong reason. And now you're also removing Hockey Fights Cancer, Black History Month, Asian Heritage Month, Indigenous Nights, Pride Nights, Military Nights, in honor to cater to this small group of players that do not want to wear Pride jerseys. And I just think it's really pathetic, and it's a cowardly move.
There's a lot of ways you could frame it. One way is saying that Gary Bettman thinks it is more important that Eric Staal doesn't have to see a Pride jersey than it is that everybody else wears military night jerseys. That's one way you could phrase it. Honestly, the biggest thing that jumped out to me, I wish I was shocked, not remotely surprised. The one thing that did floor me about it, I did not see a world where the military was getting lumped in with this. I thought that was just going to be its own standalone thing, and that was still going to happen. So I will commend them on their consistency, if that. But yeah, I think it's a brutal decision. I think that it is clear as day catering to it. We've seen it in Major League Baseball as well, with teams saying...
Texas just won't do Pride Night.
Well, I mean, and other teams across the league have done that, but even going as far as the Players Association is now, and look, this is unions, good, bad, somewhere in the middle. I'll leave it up there for you to decide. But generally speaking, unions will protect their members. Mm-hmm. That includes their worst ones and ones that they disagree with. You know, we talk about in the NHL all the time, when the PA is fighting for a guy and it's involving a dangerous hit, it's not the guy who's been maimed and murdered. It's the, hey, he has the right to do the murdering out there. You leave him alone. So this is how it's always... This was the direction it was always trending once Provorov kind of kicked it all off. I don't think anybody should be surprised by the NHL stance. You could be upset about it. If you're asking my opinion, you should be upset about it. But I wish I was surprised, but I'm not.
So they will continue these nights, like Pride Night, et cetera, but they won't have the visual jerseys, the auction. But like a lot of that was really important. Like if you are a member of this community and you want to come, or even if you're not a member of the community and you come to a game, you're just seeing the visual representation of that you're welcome here and that the players appreciate you and that they welcome you in and the organization does. And without having the jerseys, you don't see that as much and you're not being able to, I know some of these were auctioned off for charity. Mm-hmm. So you're missing an opportunity just to make this community feel more welcome and to say, hey, hockey is for everyone. Well, clearly it's not because you're going to eliminate all the other visual representations of celebrating whatever it is. And I just think that they made so many steps forward with making more of these nights. And it's like, let's take all these steps backwards and we just won't do the thing that makes a couple people upset. Okay. So some more stuff from the conversation there yesterday was Ottawa, host city of the 2025 World Juniors. So coming back to
our province.
Big year
for the byword market.
Oh my goodness. Big year for Ottawa. Big years for Ottawa.
Yeah.
And so that'd be fun. They hosted in 2009. Canada won.
Oh, and the good news is, I know this was an NHL thing, but the owner won't be up there saying, this is garbage. We should have a better outdoor game.
That's
what's
true.
Going on here? That won't be happening
that's
this time.
True.
So that's
true. So they'll have that in 2025, which like I was like, oh, that's far away. And I'm like, oh, that's actually not.
It's not.
It's a couple days away. A couple months away.
You're gonna blink. Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be here.
And then we got one more here because yesterday we talked about the financial situation of MLSC and et cetera. So here's an update and... You know, Justin and I, if you're listening yesterday, we just broke down the finances. We did some mug math. We had the, don't go and listen to that, Gunner, because it just, it'll hurt your brain. Nonetheless, here's a little update on Larry Tannenbaum's MLSC shares.
Well, it hasn't closed, but it was approved by the executive committee, as was with Monumental for the Washington franchise as well. So the Caps also was approved by the executive committee previously. At the end of the day, I've always said that our franchises had been undervalued. Mm-hmm. That may be because of the franchises that had been sold or traded. And in the final analysis, we don't have a lot of turnover, but we're beginning to see more realistically the true value of our franchises.
I was curious about Larry Tannenbaum in Toronto. He's been a big part of the league. He's on your executive committee. Will he continue in his current roles, or is this to be taken in any way of him taking a step back?
No, I don't think he's taking a step back. This is a small, passive investment. It's nothing more than that.
Can I just be mad for 2 seconds?
Please.
How dare you get up there and take a victory lap about the valuation of franchises, which it's your job to do. And it wasn't part of that, but in that exact same sit down that Elliot did with him, or is actually stand up, they're both standing. He asked him about the cap and it's going to go up $1 million. The team that is being sold a chunk of it at an $8 billion valuation that allows you to squawk and crow and say, look how good I'm doing at my job, getting all this value out of the league, is the team that is most hamstrung by your hard cap. And the hard cap is what has killed any movement in this league. And it is why it is lagging behind the other three North American sports leagues in terms of engagement and all of that other stuff. So good on you. I know that's literally your job, is just to get the owners their money, and you're doing it. But the idea of those two realms shall never meet, franchise valuation and the cap, they have nothing to do with one another. Why would they involve one another? It is ridiculous, and it drives me insane, especially when it involves the Leafs once again paying the bills for the entire league and them going, tisk, tisk, no raise in a cap for you, even though you're the team far most affected by it. But other than that, I thought it was great.
It's like when he went on the podium, was it like a month ago? And was like, oh, we are the most revenue, $6.6 billion, a couple beans. And they're like giggling about, a couple beans to count. Oh. Raise the cap more.
Yeah, hilarious.
All right, so Gunner and I, for the rest of this morning, we'll get the A-list after the break, and then we'll chat with Michael Grange about the newest Toronto Raptor, plural, two Raptors yesterday for the...
The Rapti?
That's a nice plural. Yeah, but let's start it. A-list after the break.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now, it's time for...
Hey, yo!
The A-list.
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
What's up, baby?
All right, you have been to the zoo, I assume.
Buddy, I was a camp counselor.
You were?
Oh, yeah, I was
the Toronto Zoo?
I would take my camp kids to the zoo once this summer. And then, I went to the zoo all the time as a kid. Okay. Big polar bear guy when I was young.
I like a good polar bear.
It's my animal. And then I found out that I used to put my hands on the glass. They would jump back and forth, and I was like, I have this special bond. And then as I got older, I did some reading, and it's like, that is a trauma response. They do not like being in a cage.
I mean, it is, we don't have to get into like...
The
feelings about
the zoo? I live by marine land now. Oh, I don't even want to. I genuinely am like, I feel like a dark cloud come over
me. Yeah. We can't.
I know.
We can't get into the ethics of it, but we can get into the story.
Please.
Inter Miami goalkeeper Nick Marsman, and we know Inter Miami is having a moment right
now. They are.
It's Miami's month /
They got Cristiano Ronaldo, right, Danielle?
Something like that, right?
No, the other
Dude. Wasn't it Beckham? Anyway.
It was messy. We know.
We know it's messy.
Just kidding you guys.
Nick Marsman, okay, so a goalkeeper there, made the trek to a zoo in Florida with his family and was bitten by a poisonous spider sometime during his business.
Just around.
It was around. It was out and about. It was somewhere at the zoo.
Nope.
Yes. And he had to spend some time in the hospital. And there's an Instagram post and, quote, the downside of living in a tropical climate is when you go to the zoo and get bitten by a poisonous spider. You end up being hospitalized for 3 days. So not sure what type of spider it was, what happened in terms of the zoo. Like, I don't know if it climbed out of an... rainforest. You're shaking your head.
I don't like any of this.
I don't think so either. But yes, just a tidbit of advice is be careful at the zoo, because even the best of the best can get bitten by spiders and go to the hospital for 3 days.
Yeah, the zoo's always been a little weird to me. They have like birds that aren't in cages, and it's like it's just going to stay in there.
They just know where to come back home to.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Awesome. I do love a zoo. Dying to take my guy there. When
yeah,
he can
after
handle
hearing
it.
The story.
Yeah. Well, no touching spiders. Come on.
Well, they don't know where it came from. If it just climbed over.
Stay vigilant then.
There's probably spider experts.
Maybe I'll put him in a full
line.
Hazmat suit and take him. Then no problems there.
Spider experts probably have a name that's like.
Arachnid is what they would be.
Arachnid. No?
I don't know. I just know arachnid is like the technical scientific term for that family of insect or whatever.
Scientist Gunner this morning.
It's about all I got for you.
Because it's arachnophobia when you're afraid of them.
Yes, that's right. That's how I know that actually
that's
is it.
That's There's it. People that are listening that probably are creeped out
that are no longer listening.
That have turned their radio off because there's deadly spider attacks.
Imagine they just got a little like wind on the back of their neck and they're like, oh, it's going to get me.
That'd be good. It makes me think of, I don't know if you've probably watched Harry Potter with your kid, that, you know, the big spider.
Yeah, I do. I actually do not.
They name it? It's like floppy or fuzzy or...
My experience with... where I was bad at my camp counselor job. My experience of Harry Potter was falling asleep when we would take the kids to that movie. So shout out to everyone who made that franchise.
Okay.
Not up my... I am, to borrow a term from Cousin Greg, I'm not familiar with this IP.
There you go. Aragog was the spider's name.
Okay,
you learn something new every day. So beware of spiders if you go to the zoo. Michael Grange joins us after the break. Let's get down into... the newest Toronto Raptor, Grady Dick, and Nick Kiprios will join us to wrap up the next hour on The Fan Morning Show with Gunner and Ailish.